Former middle linebacker Ray Nitschke is still a legend in the Packers franchise. At the height of his career, he and his family lived a public life as superstars in Northeast Wisconsin.
Privately, each of them struggled with alcohol. At a time when Packers wives were expected to uphold a certain image, Ray's wife Jackie was the first Packer wife to publicly acknowledge her addiction.
Now a new documentary brings Jackie's story to life and aims to raise awareness about these issues. The film will be screened tonight at the Widener Center for the Performing Arts in Green Bay at 6:30. Here's a clip.
Jackie was a force of nature. She was larger than life. You knew when she was happy, she laughed. And she didn't just giggle or snicker. She would laugh.
Jim Rivett is the producer and director of Champion, The Legacy of Jackie Nitschke. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be here.
And Bill Labine is also with us. He's the executive director of the Jackie Nitschke Center in Green Bay. Bill, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
So, Jim, let's start with you. Why was it important for you to get Jackie's story out there by producing this documentary?
Well, I got involved in the Jackie Nitschke Center by having a young gentleman kind of come into our building, and he was in need of addiction recovery, and we got him connected to the Jackie Nitschke Center and just saw this need and kind of got involved on the board, and then we just felt that this was a great way to tell the story of what the Jackie Nitschke Center provides to the community. They're just a great resource for addiction recovery.
Well, we'll get into the center in just a moment, but Jim, for Jackie, how did her struggle with alcohol begin?
Well, you know, she really helped Ray clean up his act. I mean, he was threatened with losing his job if Lombardi was really getting down on him because he was getting really wild and drinking a lot and getting in fights. She got him, you know, sober, but then I think she became addicted because she was leading this stressful life of the celebrity wife. You know, they're kind of invisible. Beverly Lofton talks a lot about how you become almost invisible. Everybody wants to get to your husband. They're a star status. And I think a lot of these women turn to alcohol as a way to numb themselves from the pain and the loneliness.
And how big a deal was it when this model Packer wife came out and said, hey, I'm trying to deal with this alcohol addiction?
I think she was so ahead of her time to be able to do something that took such courage at that time in Green Bay's history and football history. That really took a lot of guts to do that because, first of all, your husband is a celebrity in the NFL, and then you're coming out with this very honest, candid need to express what's going on in your life, but you're also working tirelessly to help others in the recovery community get sober. I think that's what was really so different about Jackie.
Bill Labine, you're the head of a substance abuse recovery center bearing Jackie's name. Would you say a lot of people can relate one way or another to Jackie's struggle with alcoholism?
I think what Jackie really did was she spoke publicly about the disease. In our society, especially in Wisconsin, we have such a drinking culture. The people, families, they're too ashamed to talk about it. They think they're responsible, or it was poor parenting, or there's some excuse about why they're addicted to some type of chemical or alcohol. But Jackie started the conversation that it's an illness and it's okay to talk about it. And we're trying to carry on her efforts through the documentary and what we do here at the Jackie Nitschke Center to give people permission to talk about this illness. We're all affected by it. It's confusing to everybody. We understand it pretty good, and we know how to help people get well. But it just starts by raising community awareness and letting people know it's okay to talk about it, and there's help available.
And Bill, why is it important to have a documentary like this one that's aimed at people in your part of the state?
Well, I watched it again Thanksgiving morning at 4 o'clock, and what I really noticed was how much love there was between Ray and Jackie and their family unit, and just how that overcame the illness, and they're a great assets to the community. It was much more powerful than Ray being a great football player in the Green Bay Packers, but it was really about the family coming together, tackling some tough issues, having the courage to do so, and then carrying that message to the public.
And Jim, in pulling together this documentary, let's follow up on Bill's point there. What kind of impact did Jackie's alcohol addiction have on her family and the kids?
I think her daughter Amy is somebody who really has a lot of admiration for her mother. She saw her go through some difficult times, but Amy is in the documentary as well, and just the love that she has for both of her parents and the legacy that they left behind, I think, is so honorable. But even Bart and Cherry Starr talk about their son's death from an overdose, and It's just really, and Chester Markle, the same thing. Their stories are just really heartfelt, and it's so neat that they could come out and be so candid with their own aspect of addiction that touched their lives.
Bill, there's a bit in the documentary where they talk to some of the people who have been through treatment in your center. One of the people talks about hearing his dad say, I hate you, and the kid saying, I think at this point, I hate me too. How wrenching do these stories get before people go out and seek help like this?
Actually, that was William Moyers, and his father, Bill Moyers, pulled him out of a crack house, and then that's when the conversation mm-hmm. took place. The stories, they're all heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching. It's a devastating illness, and we're encouraging people to start talking about it. There's a lot of pain with the disease of addiction. It's fatal. It does a lot of damage, and it affects the entire family and the community.
I want to connect Jackie Nitschke's story to the Jackie Nitschke Center. Bill, how did the center come into existence?
In 1972 to 1995, this place was a halfway house for men and women following their primary treatment, and it was funded by the county. And then in 1995, that funding discontinued, and it began a 28-day treatment program. The Samaritan House really struggled, and then because of the great work that Jackie did in our community, and right about a year previous, she passed away. We then approached Ray Nitschke and asked Ray if we could rename the facility after Jackie for all the great work she did in the community helping other people recover, and he agreed. In May 1997, we had a great reopening and renamed the facility after Jackie. And then we began expanding our services to include intensive outpatient treatment, an outpatient treatment and alumni group, and then a women's recovery house. And we really believe in a continuum of care where it's really intensive up front, and then the intensity lessens over time.
And Jim, Bill had just mentioned the work that Jackie did to help other people dealing with similar struggles. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How did she devote her life to help other people?
Well, a lot of stories that, it was hard to put together someone's life. They're both were passed away, so we had to go out and try to find friends of theirs. But what we did find was people who either she was their sponsor, and they talked about how she was relentless in talking to them any time of the day or any time of the night. And if they didn't have a place to go at Thanksgiving or Christmas, she would open her house to them. She was very, very adamant about getting them into recovery, and she wasn't afraid to have these really hard conversations, because dealing with somebody with an addiction, you know, they can really con you a lot of times. So she was really smart. She was small, but she was really tough, and she wasn't afraid to have these hard conversations to get people the help they needed, because they could try to trick you. So,
talking to all those people, Jim, tell us a little bit about Jackie and who she was and her personality.
A lot of the people really talked about how she was just a spitfire. You know, she just had a lot of spunk. When she came into the room, you know, everybody knew she was there. She was electric. She was just had this really contagious laugh. She just knew how to network with people, and she knew how to make friends, and she was really warm. Chester Markle said, you know, when you were in a room with her, you could just feel her presence, because she was just so vivacious. So I think that's what helped her get committed to staying sober herself was to actually reach out to all these other people and get them on board with where she was going. So I think that was her legacy, was she had that ability, that charisma to do that.
Bill, a lot of people in Jackie's situation then and now, I imagine, deal with it, I assume, on their own, in silence. How does a person either dealing with addiction themselves or with a family member take the first step to talk about the problem and try to get help for it?
The problem with the disease is people try to quit on their own, but they don't understand that it's actually a disease, and it's a medical issue. When there's enough pain, when there's enough consequences, and when the enabling stops, a person will then surrender and then reach out and ask for help. But the challenge is they have to give up everything that's familiar to them, even though drinking and using drugs is bad and has negative consequences. They trust they know what's going to happen. But when someone enters recovery, it's a whole new world, and there's a lot of changes. And that can be a very scary process for someone to encounter, especially if they do it on their own.
And Bill, we were talking about alcohol in Jackie Nitschke and Ray Nitschke's lives. That was part of the circle they were in. What are some of the other challenges you're dealing with at the center now in the Green Bay area?
across the country, what we're all struggling with is there's been a major cut in funding for substance abuse treatment. It is the least funded illness of any illness, and a big part of that is because it has the negative stigma attached to it, and nobody understands it, and people think that when somebody relapses that it doesn't work, but it has the same relapse rate as any other physical illness. The challenge is the treatment delivery system is so poorly funded. We're all trying to survive. We just want to help people, but the regulations and the cost to do so keep getting higher and higher.
Bill, as we wrap up in just a few moments, do you hope people take away from this documentary about Jackie Nitschke?
But we're hoping, my biggest goal is to educate the public, educate families, raise public awareness that the illness affects everybody, that there's a recovery is a great place. It's a great way to live. You can improve the quality of your life. It's okay to talk about the problem, and it's okay to seek help.
Bill, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
And Jim, thanks a lot to you as well.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
We've been hearing from Jim Rivett and Bill Labine. They joined us from Green Bay. You can catch a screening of the documentary we've been talking about. It's called Champion, The Legacy of Jackie Nitschke, tonight at 6:30 at the Widener Center in Green Bay.